Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic program from Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to this classic program to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always happy when you open your doors and let us come in, or maybe your trucks, or maybe your vehicles, you're out farming. We just hear from people all over and in every different circumstance of life, and just so we can worship together. And we worship the same one dear Lord Jesus Christ. And all over the world, He's as close to every one of us as our very breath. It's wonderful to know that we can worship the Lord in His name. We're looking at a psalm today that we use so often. I just want to share today, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He has made us. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Oh God, You are so wonderful. We can't comprehend how great and wonderful You are. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And You never tire, and You never become weary, and You have all power and might and wisdom. And You have great love for all of us, especially those who receive Your Son. There's a special love that You put upon those who receive Jesus. But where's our prayer today that people everywhere will make that prayer, asking You into their hearts to take away their sin and become a child of God. So this is Your service, and we ask You to bless us in it. In Jesus' name, amen. And Barb has an opening song for us, Find Me Faithful, and God bless you, Barb.
Mountains look so high from the valley, and it feels like I've been here for so long. There are days it seems I've been forgotten, but You give the strength to press on. I must confess that I've known disappointment, but somehow I'm still here, and You're still God. Lord, I know You've held me through each moment. I have learned Your grace is enough.
So on the mountains, walk with me, and in the valleys deep, remind me hard times, I have promises to keep. As life is hard for everyone, with battles fought and lost and won. But when all is said and done, find me faithful.
Miracles don't show up without heartbreak. So if this is the cross that I must bear, I will stay the course and keep on trusting. You have proven You won't leave me there.
So on the mountains, walk with me, and in the valley, I have promises to keep. For
in thought of everyone with battles fought and lost and won.
But when all is said and done, find me faithful.
As life is hard for everyone with battles fought and lost and won.
Said and done, find me faithful,
find me faithful.
And isn't that wonderful? You know, whether you've been to seminary or not, or whether you've been to school or not, or maybe you didn't even graduate from eighth grade, it doesn't make a bit of difference. We can all be faithful. We may not be all successful and be great and powerful in the world so that everybody knows us, but we can all be faithful. And that, I know, is what you want, and that's what I want, and that's what God is asking us. Just be faithful. Just keep at it. Just keep plugging away. Well, we have to look at some of our letters. We get so many good letters, and we try to read them, but we can't read all of them. We just pick out some that just really stand out, some that the Holy Spirit says, you ought to share this one. And so the first one he pointed his finger at was Gehring, Nebraska. And this is a gentleman, and he writes, Pastor, 2 weeks ago the question was asked if the Bible says anything about praying in Jesus' name. John 14:13, the Savior said, ask anything in my name and I will. So the best way to receive an answer is to ask in his name. Thank you for making me think a little and to share what I have learned. May the Lord be with each of you in his name. And that's true. He says, you ask in my name and I will do it. But listen, he said something else. Something else. That isn't all that he said. He said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, it shall be done unto you. Abide in Jesus. That is, we're praying every prayer we pray, thy will be done. We want to have the heart of Christ. We want to have the message that the Lord wants. He has a will and a plan for us, and we want to be in that plan. And we could ask for a question. You could have two men both praying their heads off to marry a certain woman. And what's she going to do? And what's God going to do? And so just because you ask it doesn't mean you're going to get it, because we ask according to God's will. God bless him. But he'll do the right thing, and all things work together for those who love the Lord. Here's Evergreen Park, Illinois. Just started watching you a couple weeks ago on your 98th birthday. God bless you. You inspire me with what you continue to do at age 98 in the ministry. I'm so blessed and excited to do the work of the Lord just like you, because I'm not comparing, but I know if God can continue to work through you, then I know the Lord has work for me to do, and I'm 22. Thank you. Isn't that a beautiful letter from a young man, 22, and God has a plan for his life, and he says, look at here, if that old guy can do it, I can do it. And that's exactly it, because I'm just a plain old country boy from western South Dakota, proud of it, herding sheep. And God just takes you. You preach his word, my friends. Preach the Bible. That gives you authority, and that God will bless it, and you can. And God has given each of us a number of days, and we give apply them unto wisdom, give them unto God. Let's see here, Piney Flats, Tennessee. I haven't been able to see your service since last October. At the assisted living home where I am, they finally did get us a choice of Christian channels to see, and now I can see your service again on Saturday night. Praise the Lord. Welcome back, dear friend. The Lord worked it out, and we're going to worship together, and we're going to spend eternity together. And, well, we never get tired of each other. No. Heaven's going to be a perfect place. Why perish the thought? I don't know why I'd say that. Here's Groton, South Dakota. I want to thank you for being my pastor for over 50 years. I've learned so much from you, and I'm proud to call you my friend. And I know this lady. She's in Groton, right next to us here in Aberdeen. And she's a dear Christian, loves Jesus. 50 years we've been worshiping the Lord together. Fargo, North Dakota, thank you for your weekly messages. My 25-year-old daughter loves to watch your program. We appreciate your faithfulness. I pray for your health. You bring a strong message even to a younger audience. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know why the young people like my preaching? Because I'm preaching the Bible. It's not what I'm saying. It sure doesn't have anything to do with me. And because I'm an old man doesn't mean that they won't listen to me. Because when you preach the Bible, you got their attention. Do you know that people are asking all over the world, is there any word from God? Does God have anything to say? Does he have a message for me? What is God saying? What does God want? What is God like? That's what they're asking. My, we got politicians all over the place. Lord, have mercy. But what does God have to say? And that's why people like to hear my preaching, is because I preach the Bible. It sure isn't me, and it's not because I'm fancy, but because I've got the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Here's Helena, Montana. Hello, I'm a fairly newfound Christian who's been working on my addiction. I'm in Lewis and Clark County Jail. There are a few of us trying to start a Celebrate Recovery or similar group. If there's any material you can help us with, it would be amazing. Praying to recover to Recovery Bible Journal or Study Bible or any materials at all would be a blessing. And so we've sent a Bible study to them. And you know, we have a Bible study every month. We have a new Bible study. Now this month, the month of September, it is the Bible study is A Never Failing Friend. Well, you would never guess who that is, would you? There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, it's Jesus. But it's a whole Bible study. And we have some people that use this for Sunday school. Some people use it for Bible studies. And one man says, I read it over and over, this wonderful little, it's called The New Song. The New Song. I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. And then you can write to us. And it's free and postpaid. How can you beat that? And so we send it to a lot of jails and a lot of assisted living places. And we're glad to do that. Here's one from Chicago, Illinois. Thank you, Pastor, for your preaching about Moses not giving bread. Thanks be to Jesus, the great I Am, the bread of life. And he that eateth never get hungry. Please pray for my 3 adult children that they may taste the bread of life, Jesus. And then it's signed their mother. So here's a mother praying for their adult children. And you know, when they get to be a certain age, and then they want to be on their own. It's hard to talk to them, hard to talk to some young people. Once they get out of home and going, and there's only one thing you can do, mother, you pray. And she says here, talk about Moses giving bread. And what she's referring to, in case you're not familiar with that, great I Am, the bread of life. They said, we know that Moses gave bread to the Israelites when the Israel for 40 years. Can you do that? And Jesus says, he has straightened them out, and he says, Moses didn't give you any bread. God gave the bread, the manna, for 40 years, and shoes that didn't wear out. And boy, some of these folks are buying new styles. Every time there's a new style, they get a new shoe. Well, 40 years was just fine for the Israelites. And so here she's saying, Jesus says, if you take that bread of life, you can have eternal life. And you say, well, how do you take it? How do I take Jesus? And Jesus tells us that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You have to receive Jesus. And you say, that's good and well, but how do I receive him? I don't even see him. And you receive him by just asking him to come into your heart. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any person opens that door, I will come into your heart and into your life. That happened to me when I was 10 years old. I prayed that prayer, dear Jesus. Just pray it now. Pray it with me. Just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take them away. And I'll serve you the best I can. That is, you're going to turn from any ways that are wrong. And you're going to do the things that are right. And you'll never be perfect, but you'll work at it, see. And then you thank Jesus. And you have everlasting life. And so that's what this mother's praying. And you know, I think God hears a mother's prayers. I think that he hears two kinds of prayers the most. One, I think, are mothers. And I have people come to me, and their mother's gone. And then they say, you know, my mother prayed for me. And God's talking to my heart, and I want my mother's God. I want Jesus. And I prayed with them many, many, over 75 years. And I've seen many come after mother's gone. So you mothers keep praying, never give up. And the other one that the people that God listens to, I think, is the children. Because he doesn't want to say no. They have that little faith, and they think if you could turn the world upside down, it would happen. They never question. And I think God tries every way he can to say yes to every little child because he doesn't want them to let them down. He wants their faith to grow. But after we get some sense and get along, when he says no, we say, thank you, Lord. I didn't want it anyway, and I'm just happy the way I am. See, give it to the Lord. One more letter. Salem, Oregon, says, thank you all for bringing God's holy word to us faithfully. The letters you read remind me of the hurting world and to pray for all. Thank you for praising our Savior Jesus and letting us join in. And so she says that we have a hurting world, and oh, I tell you, we get letters and people are hurting. Maybe their children are having troubles. Maybe the marriage is having troubles. Maybe the business can't pay the. Oh, the devil fights us every way he possibly can. And that's why we ought to pray for each other when we read these letters. You pray for these people and pray that they'll come. Pray that they'll be strengthened and helped. When you hear something about this 22-year-old boy, a young man now, and he wants to give all his life to Jesus, pray for him. And then if you'd like to send us a letter, you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll try to read it. Now, we can't read all the letters. I got a letter from a lady, and she was very upset. Because she sent a letter to me to read, and I think it was 6 or 7 pages long. And I want to preach a little bit. And so I didn't read her letter. She was very upset. So God bless you, sister. You'll hold on to that letter. When we get to heaven, I'll read it to you in heaven or something. I don't know what we'll do. But we'll try to read your letter, but we can't read them all. So you just write, and we'll answer. So now we're going to have a piano solo from Jan. God bless you, Jan. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Appreciate your ministry of music for us. We're reading from Romans chapter 12 today, and the sermon is going to be about a checklist for godliness. We all want to be like Jesus. When we accept Jesus, he's our model. He's our ideal person. He's the one we want to model our life after. And so we look to the Bible, and the Bible teaches us many different ways on how we can be like Jesus. And we're never going to be perfect, but we strive for perfection. And so in Romans chapter 12, beginning with the 14th verse, Paul writes, and he talks about how we should, some of the ways that we need to have to be like Jesus. He says in verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so these are some of the suggestions, some of the guidelines for us to live that Christian life that for and honor the Lord. And so we're going to pray now. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church. We pray for them every week. And we're praying for them in Eritrea. So, dear Heavenly Father, yes, we want to be like your son, Jesus. He says that Peter tells us, use Jesus as our example. We don't need to take any person on this earth, because every person on this earth may be a wonderful Christian, but they have feet of clay and they can stumble and they can fail. But Jesus will never fail. Jesus will never stumble. He's absolutely perfect. He's the only sinless person that ever lived. And so that's our goal. And we strive to be like that. And someday when we're in heaven, we'll be just like Jesus. And we'll be perfect. We won't have a single sin, won't sell sin in a single way. Won't that be a wonderful time? And so just talk to our hearts, Lord, and help us to be open to the leading of your word. And now we pray for our brothers and sisters in Eritrea, Lord, and oh, how some of them go through the fire and the flood, and how they are persecuted so many times. And we're so happy, Lord, that by shortwave radio, where they're able to worship with us right now, as we pray for them, they'll hear us praying for us, for them, Lord, because our hearts go out to them, and we admire them so much because they're standing true in the middle of the fire. They're not yielding, and they're not giving in. And oh, dear God, help us all over the world where we live in easy places. Help us to be strong and never give in and never doubt and never fail. That's our prayer. And so, Lord, this is your service, and we pray that you'll have your will accomplished in every heart and every life, in Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing now before I preach like a house of fire. She's going to sing a song, Just As I Am. So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Thank you, Melissa, and that's exactly right. All over the world, you can be coming to Jesus. Whenever we sing that song, I think of Billy Graham, those great crusades. He traveled all over the world, and there's always the same, just as I am. So maybe you got a lot of sin today. Maybe you've done some terrible things, and you wouldn't want anybody to know about it. You feel bad about it, and you're sorry for it, but you think God will never take me because I've sinned so terribly. He'll never take me. And so what we have to do, friends, is just listen to what he says. And he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how terrible you've been. If you come to Jesus, his arms are open to you, and he will take you into his heart. And he'll wash away your sins. And he'll come into your life and take away your sins. And he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you'll have eternal life and go on your way rejoicing. You know, sometimes people say, well, I got to clean up if I want to be a Christian. I got to clean up because they got a lot of rules and regulations. And we do have a lot of suggestions. We're going to look at them today. Look at some of them. But so you say, well, I'm going to get all my life all straightened up first. Never do that. Don't do that. You come to Jesus. Just don't matter how bad you may be. Maybe you're an elderly person and you've lived a terrible life. You shudder as you look back over it. And you just come to Jesus and say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. I'll turn from my sins, follow you the best way I can. Don't clean up first. First come to Jesus, and then you can clean up after that. Like one old pastor says, God doesn't clean his fish till he catches them. So you come to Jesus, and he'll clean you up. And you'll never be perfect, but you'll be on your way. And so that's what that's what we want to talk about today. Checklist, guidelines for godliness. And Paul tells us in so many places that he gives us some regulations, gives us some directions. And there are four guidelines or four questions that we can ask ourselves about different things, six guidelines that we can ask. Now, God says, I'll ask you a question. Are you doing this or that or the other? And it gets us to see, gets us to think about it. So the first thing God tells us, and that is, will this thing or whatever it is, will this cause me to become a slave to it? Over and over, God tells us to watch those things that Satan would send our way to ensure us, things would make us a slave to us. And that's what Satan wants. He wants to be here. He wants you to be his slave. And one thing, he'll give you habits, and he'll give things that are evil in your life. Habits that are going to destroy your life, destroy your health, and destroy your soul if you don't come to Jesus and get it taken care of and get it washed away. And so one of these things is, will these things enslave me? Will I become a slave to it? Some habit, something that you may be done for years and years, and it rules your life, and you're not free at all. And so God says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The Living Bible makes it like this. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no, but some of those things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. Friend of mine, the devil is out to get you. He's our enemy. He's our foe. And he wants you to be a slave to him. And he wants to get his old hands on you. And he's got his old tentacles on some people. The Lord, they can't get away, or they're trying to get away from it. It's an awful battle. One way the devil gives his people to get into is a bad habit. And it starts out so innocently. And we always think we're going to be in control of it. And all of a sudden, we're realizing that we can't break it. We're doing our best, and it's just we're a slave to it. Some of the nicest people I know, I love them, but they're caught in a habit that makes a slave out of them, and they struggle to get loose, to get free. And that's why you need to have Jesus. You need to open your heart to Jesus and come to him, and he'll give you strength you never had before. Some of these things you can't break by yourself. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And then we can do, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can break those habits. I can break away from them. And I can be free and set free. Free to be a servant of God, a follower of the Lord. So we have to be on our guard that the devil doesn't catch us up on something and drag us into something. There's a man, Dr. Clarence E. McCartan. He was a minister of the Presbyterian Church, USA, for a half a century, 50 years. And this is what he writes. He says, I was once consulted by a student who had been urged to take a course of conduct that was wrong. Not only wrong, but shockingly wrong. Amazed that one should feel it necessary to consult a minister or anyone else as to the right or wrong of the suggested action, I said finally, how does it seem to you when you pray about it? And he says, oh, then came the quick answer, it seems to be wrong. McCartney concludes by saying, that's the great thing about prayer. It strips the mask off of the face of temptation. A temptation to succeed, at least at the beginning, must wear some disguise or some mask. It must look so innocent and so easy. So it comes with a mask. But prayer tears away that disguise and reveals evil in all its hideous features. Look at the suggestion or the temptation in the light of prayer. Bring it under contact with holy thoughts and desires. If wrong, it cannot stand that light, for prayer will no more direct the temptation beset soul in the wrong direction than the North Star will direct the tempest-tossed mariner in the wrong course at sea. No, we all comes looking, sounding so good, but when you look behind it, and when you look and see what it's doing to some people, you can tear off that mask and you'll find there ugly sin, because sin is always ugly. So the first test for godliness is, will this thing make me a slave to it? It isn't always something bad either. It can be something like hunting or fishing or golfing, or it can be gardening. It can be living an excessive lifestyle. and it becomes a your God, and you're a slave to it, and you're doing everything to live on that. It could be a thousand different things. So keep your eye out for anything that might make you a slave to it. And then the second thing he tells us, will this thing edify me? That is, will it build me up physically, mentally, spiritually? Will it strengthen me and help me in the things of the Lord? God speaks through St. Paul on this matter, and he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. The New Jerusalem Bible puts it this way. For me there are no forbidden things, but not everything does good. True, there are no forbidden things, but it is not everything that helps building us to grow. Now there are some things, of course, that we know they're just off base. But we're talking about those things that look good, with it, that are all right to do. It's all right to go fishing unless you make it your God or anything like that. Sometimes it's money, and that's all they live for. And it isn't wrong to make money. Make all the money you can and give away all the money you can, because it isn't yours. All that money is God's, and you're just holding it. It isn't your store. You just work in the store. It's God's store for you to hand out. And this can be a terrible thing to some people as they die with a fortune left behind. And I read about some one man, a rich man died, and somebody says, I wonder how much he left. And he says, the other guy says, I understand that he left it all. That's the end of that. But you spend your whole life for something that dies when you die. And Paul is telling us to keep these things honest and pure and clean and walk with the Lord and be careful. And will this question build up my body and my health? Will it hurt my body? You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I remember my dear mother. Oh, she didn't want us to get into smoking, and we had hired men, and they smoked all the time. And in my day, and that was in the 30s, you weren't a man unless you smoked. And my mother talked to us over and over and over. You had four boys. And she used to say, I hear it time and time again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you do anything to harm it. Don't you do anything to desecrate it. It belongs to God, and the Holy Spirit dwells therein. And of those four, none of us got into tobacco or whatever it might be. But that can be an awful thing to claim you. And so we have to say, what is it doing to me physically? What is it doing to me mentally? That is some of the things you're watching on television. Put this to your test. Well, with the things that I'm reading, reading materials, the music I listen to, the things that I run through my mind and ponder, the friends that I keep, do these things strengthen my mind and my soul that I'm pure and my clean? I could tell you something and you would remember it for a long time. And I'm going to tell you just to prove a point. I'm thinking about a red-faced monkey. Now you'll think of that over and over. And that's what was it. So when you get stories that are wrong and you get pictures that are wrong, and you sell out your soul, and you always have to say, will this feed my spiritual life? We have two natures. We have the good nature, the spirit of Christ with us, and then we have the old nature. The old nature will always lead us astray after the flesh, but the new spirit will say, do those things that are pure and clean and white and honoring Christ. And then the third thing, will others stumble over me if I indulge in this particular thing? Again, we go to God's word for guidance in this matter. That is, will my life cause a younger person to go astray? Will my life hurt somebody else? And I can tell you this, like it or not, like it or not, we are. You are our brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. You are your neighbor's keeper. You're responsible for your neighbor. And to lead them astray, and by anything you do, then that becomes a great sin. And so we will listen to the Lord and do what he says, that we can honor him. And so there's the problem here with Paul was that they had where they offered meat to idols. And idols, they'd have a temple, and they'd come and they'd bring their very best cuts of meat, and they'd offer to their idols, and that was their gods. And then the priests would take it, and the leaders of the temple, of that temple or that group, would take it, and they would have a meat market because they couldn't eat all the meat. And so they would sell that meat. And so here's beautiful steak. You'd have to pay $20 a pound for it on the market. They were selling it for $1 a pound. And some of the Christians were going to the pagan places and buying that meat that had been offered to idols. And then the weaker Christian would say, "Oh, that's wrong. It's offered to idols, and I don't dare do that, because if I do, it's a great sin." And they would say, and I would lose my testimony with them because I was going to the idols to buy meat. Well, is it wrong? So they write to Paul, and they say, "Well, what should I do about this?" He says, "It doesn't matter." And Paul says, "It's offered to an idol, and an idol is nothing. It's a fence post. Doesn't mean a thing. Buy all you want, except if it causes your brother to stumble, if it causes your brother to fail, then you have to be very careful and not have any part of it." You see, he talks about it here in 1 Corinthians 8, verses 12 and 13. When you sin against a brethren, he says, and wound their weak conscience. To them that thought that was offered to an idol, it was wrong. They weren't strong. If they were strong in the Lord, they says, "Buy all you want. That's nothing but a fence post. They're offering that too." But he says, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I take my brother to offend. It could be translated like this: it is a sin against Christ to sin against your brother by encouraging him to do something he thinks is wrong. So if eating something offered to idols is going to make my brother sin, I'll not eat any of it as long as I live, because I don't want to do this to him to cause him to stumble or to fail. And so when we have to do all these things, you think about this, the people that are watching you and watching, looking over you and guiding you, and keep clean and don't go to do anything that people could misunderstand. And then we could go on. And I want to point out another thing that Paul talks about. And he talks about us over and over: will this thing in question glorify God? Will it be an honor to glory to God? Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:31, "And whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Every decision we make, we ought to be made in the underlying thought: does this bring glory to God? Is this an honor to God and to his holy name?" We ought to take that into our mind as we think of the places, the things I do, the places I go, the thoughts I harbor, the goals I have in life. Are they honoring to God? Do they bring glory to God? Or do I cast a shadow upon the glory of God by doing these things? David knew what he wanted: to walk an upright way. And so he said in the 23rd Psalm, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And I'm going to live for the Lord the best I can, because I want to honor Christ and honor him and be good to him. And so we have to just be so that when you die — I think of this so often. I've had so many funerals over 75 years. I've had funerals. And everybody wants you to say something nice at the funeral. And you try to say something nice, but don't lie, because you see, got some fella here, and he's just an ornery old cuss, and he dies. And then you say how good he is, and the people all think, "That preacher's lying, because I know that guy, see." So yeah, I have to be careful. It reminds me of one pastor. And he, in his church, he had two men, brothers. They were very, very rich, owned half the town. And they were very, very wicked, very bad. And one of them died. And now they had just built a new church, and they had a horrendous debt on that church. Didn't know how they ever going to pay for it. And so the remaining brother came to the pastor and he said, I'll pay off that whole debt for the church if at the funeral of my brother, you will say my brother was a saint. Pastor says, give me the check. He gave him the check. He took it down and he deposited it. The next day they had the funeral. And the pastor got up and he spoke. And he started out by saying that he was an evil man, and he was a wicked man, and he cheated on his wife, and he abused his family, and he went on and on, a long list of awful things. And then the pastor concluded, and he said, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. So he cleared the God and got the money. Well, don't live so that the poor old preacher doesn't have to lie for you when you die. Just live for the Lord. Honor the Lord. And then we need to put down this too, that God says, it tells us, what kind of company do you keep? Watch the company you have. Oh, you young people. Oh, my goodness, I pray for you. Because you're go with the crowd, and you'll be sure that you've got the crowd that loves the Lord. Be sure you're traveling with those people that when you talk about Jesus, they won't look at you cross-eyed. And not just young people, but older people, they get into the gang and they don't want to say anything evil. They don't want to say anything bad. And so they give in and they yield to it. God says in verses 2 Corinthians, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and be my daughters. So we have to have a different lifestyle. We have to march to a different drummer. We live to travel with a different crowd. And when you're in Sunday school and you're in grade school, you choose. Well, your parents can help you pick your friends. But when they get to a certain age, you're on your own. You pick the best friends you can find. St. John put it like this, 2 Corinthians 2. He says, stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love these things, you show that you do not really love God. For all these worldly things, these evil desires, the craze for sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, and the pride that comes from wealth and importance, these are not from God. They are from the devil and the evil world itself. And this world is fading away, and these evil forbidden things will go with it. And whosoever keeps doing the will of God will live forever. Remember, God says, my ways are not God's, man's ways are not God's ways. Live for the Lord. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but he lives for the Lord and honors the Lord, walking with God. That's the thing that we have to be careful for and we have to live for and guide him, listen to him. And then the final thing I put down was, am I witnessing for Christ my Lord? Am I telling other people about Jesus? And when I'm with the other, maybe you young people, and you can maybe put in a word how that Jesus means so much to you. I got a letter, and I haven't read it. I think I'm going to have it next time. And this man, he says, you talk about Jesus so much. Well, that's for 75 years. That's all I know to talk about. He is so wonderful. He is so beautiful. What would you do if you didn't have Jesus? And so talk about him and tell about him. Listen to this call of God gives to his people in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brethren, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy and kind, so he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, for this is too much to ask. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world and be a new and different person with a fresh newness for all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy God and satisfy him. We're ambassadors for Christ. We ought to talk about Christ. I read about a little girl, never been to Sunday school. And she went for the first time. And when she got home, her mother asked her how she liked Sunday school. And the little girl says, "Oh, I just loved Sunday school, filled with enthusiasm and joy about it." And so the mother says, "Well, what did you do?" And the little girl said, "We sang a song in a big room." And then she says, we went to a small room where a lady talked to us. "Well, who was she?" the mother asked. And the little girl says, "I don't know her name," the little girl said, "but I think she was the mother of Jesus because that's all she talked about." That's what we ought to be, all of us. They ought to know when you're with us. We're talking about Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And I talk, you know, when you talk to people, you can get the word in and say, you know, how much Jesus means to you. And how he can help you to sleep at night. I know he does with me. And if I'm thinking about something, I can say, "Now, dear Jesus." And I talk to him. Sometimes I talk to him out loud. That's one thing nice about living alone. You can just talk to Jesus anytime you want. And he helps me sleep. And he helps me forget things and to give things into his hand. And so this wonderful Jesus tells, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and your messages and glorify your Father in heaven." Stand up for Jesus. And so today I'm asking you, do you want to live that Christian life? Do you want to live it? Oh, it's the most wonderful way to live. Don't worry about me. Don't worry, because we have thou shalt and thou shalt not. That's just God brings us into a beautiful pathway where we have full freedom and joy and happiness as we walk with Jesus. You say, "Yes, I do want Jesus," because Jesus said in John 1:12, he says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God." And you're saying all over the world, you're saying, "I want Jesus. I want to receive Jesus, but what do I say?" I'll tell you what to say. You just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my life and take them away, and I'll live for you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus." And I had one man prayed that. He never prayed before, I don't think, and he prayed it. And he didn't say amen. He said goodbye. And if you receive Jesus, or you've come back to Jesus, you drifted and you come back, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature anywhere in the world. If we hear from you or email or whatever it is, we'll send you literature to help you get started. And if you'd like to be on our mailing list, we have our little Bible study. And this month it's about a never-failing friend. And it's talk about Jesus. And there's all scriptures. Always has scriptures for every point. And you just say, "I'd like to have that." And you write to us. And I'm going to give it again because our shortwave people, they don't have a screen. But if you can want to write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And here's something else. We have to have your prayers and we have to have your gifts. We have to pay our way like anybody else. And so you send us a gift and you say, "Well, I don't know if you'll use it for the right cause." Well, we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It was started by Billy Graham. He instituted that. And they audit our books every year. And they check them like it for just as slick as a hound's tooth. And we pass the bill every way. What you send, we use in the preaching of the gospel. And then if you want to have our little booklet, just ask for the new song. We send the Bible study and all the rest with it. And now I'm going to pray for you, because we always pray for all of our dear people. And you pray for us and send us that gift. Ask God, "So what should I give them? Should I help them?" And if he says yes, by all means do it, because all of our income comes from God's people. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes that have opened their hearts to you right this few last few minutes. Pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those, Lord, who have lost a loved one. Pray for the young people. Oh, the tests and the trials they have. Give them strength and give them courage. And as they open their heart to you, you'll give them strength so they can live above these things of the world. And Jesus, the little children, if they can love their mother, they can love Jesus. Help them to love you and ask them for that same prayer. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise always in Jesus' name. Amen. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send it on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And now I want to tell you something. God loves you. I don't care what your sins are. I don't care where you are. God loves you. He gave his son, Jesus, who died for your sins. But you have to come to him for forgiveness. Come to him. He wants you to come. Christian Worship Hour loves you. We've been doing this, having this service for 40 years, over 40 years. And it's always been the same. Jesus loves you. We love you. That's why we're doing this. And I put in 75 years. I'm on 76 now. And it's because I want you to know Jesus loves you. And I want you to come to Jesus. So say that prayer. And I'll see you in heaven. And in the meantime, God bless you. Till next week.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.